May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated, please. Over the years, I've had the honor of talking to people about their lives in the Christian faith. And the questions they ask often carry with them considerable interest and considerable energy. But of all the questions posed, the one arena that is most dynamic is over Christian doctrine, particularly as it's been expressed through the creeds. Whether it's in a private question or as we did in a pre-baptism class for Stephen or in inquirers' classes, people from 10 to 80 want to know about these statements of faith that show up in our worship week after week, Sunday after Sunday. To all over the years, I've pretty much consistently said two things. First, don't get hung up on the creeds. But if you want to really understand their meaning, you might want to study some Greek philosophical systems that were popular in that era. For when you're dealing with concepts like virgin birth or with words like begotten, not made, you are dealing with both ancient understandings of the world and ancient understandings of the divine. You are dealing with some very technical philosophical terms as well. To understand them, you pretty much have to study. Secondly, I said that if anyone ever tells you that the creeds of the church are our church's doctrinal statements of faith, they are not being fair in their description. For really, the creeds are ancient statements of faith, given with an ancient's understanding of the cosmos. They wrestle with the meaning of Jesus and God's presence in the world in an old way, which is why I like to say, what I love about the creeds is they're old. The ancient creeds rest in our worship, not because they're true, but because they're old. They tie us to over 2,000 years of wrestling with the meaning that Christians have in their faith. By reciting them each Sunday, we are tying ourselves, connecting ourselves to ancient ancestry. I love the creeds because they're old and they bond us to our ancients, our brothers and sisters in faith 2,000 years ago. As I approach this day, this Trinity Sunday, those conversations reminded me of a group of Eastern Orthodox theologians who I've mentioned before in both Angelus articles and I think from this pulpit. They were known as the Cappadocian Fathers. These fathers were three theologians from Asia Minor who lived during the time of the writing of the Nicene Creed. Basil of Caesarea, his brother Gregory of Nyssa, along with their friend Gregory of Nazianzus. It is these three theologians who probably are most responsible for formulating the early doctrine of the Trinity. They wrestled with how we talk about God. They wrestled with how we can attempt to describe the indescribable. One of the reasons I thought about the Cappadocian Fathers is because during our day, we're not always comfortable talking about Trinity, other theological concepts. But in the early 4th century, the doctrine of the Trinity was hotly debated, and it wasn't just hotly debated by clergy. Clergy types like Basil and the Gregories. It was discussed by lay people. People would actually argue theology in the marketplace of Constantinople. They would debate about aspects of the three persons of God: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Which person is on top, they'd ask? Which came first? Where did the sun come from? Where did the spirit come from? Believe it or not, the whole city of Constantinople was completely obsessed by these questions. Directly relating this fact, Gregory wrote, "The whole city is full of discussion. The squares, the marketplaces, the crossroads, the alleyways, used clothes dealers, money changers, food sellers, they're all arguing. If you ask someone to give you change, he philosophizes about the begotten and the unbegotten. If you ask how much a loaf of bread costs, you're answered with, the Father is greater and the Son is lesser. If you ask, is my bath ready? The attendant answers, the Son was made from nothingness." End quote. Think about what a world would be like if that was today. "I'd like a Big Mac, please." "Sure thing, bud, but first, do you think the Spirit proceeds from the Father alone or from both the Father and the Son? Is my car ready?" "That depends on whether you're Arian or Athanasian in orientation toward the Incarnation." Everyone would be a theologian. Everyone. I'd love it. The other reason I thought about the Cappadocian Fathers is because of their wonderful creative thinking. In order to deal with this debate they were engaged in, Basil and the Gregories came up with a new way of talking about God and about the Trinity. Since they were Greek, they called this new idea by a Greek name, no wonder. Perichoresis, literally meaning to dance around, or better yet, circle dance. They thought the best way for us to understand and talk about the Trinity was to think of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as dancing in a circle with each other. Now, I'll admit, I'm not a dancer. But there's one thing that's immediately apparent about circle dancing. Even I can figure it out. I mean, how many does it take to make a circle? One doesn't work, neither does two. It takes a minimum of three to dance in a circle dance. You can't do it alone, and two, a circle does not make. It may seem rather simple, but that's one of the primary ways the Cappadocians talked about God and about how God works. Three persons, each working together in perfect, loving harmony. Not one single dance, but one single dance. One loving movement, so gracefully coordinated that it becomes impossible to tell the difference between the dance and the dancers. And there's one more image, for there are a few things we can tease out of the Trinity as circle dance. Frank Griswold, our former presiding bishop, liked to talk about the Cappadocians, and he described the circle dance with this. "In a three-way dance, no one person can lead. Rather, all three must move as one, respecting the others, with no one person dominating, no one person directing." And so it is with the Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all moving together as one holy union of difference. The Trinitarian God is a God whose very nature is one of relationality, whose very essence is defined by relationship. Our Trinitarian God is thus a God of community, a divine community of love. And if this is the way we talk about God, and we believe that we are made in the image of God, then the Holy Trinity has something to say about us. If God and God's person is best described as circle dance, a dance where no one leads, We'll all move as one, each respecting the others, no one dominating, no one directing. If that's the way God is that not what God calls us to be? So our belief in the triune God calls us first to be in relationship. But more than just simply being called into relationship with one another, I would suggest to you that the image of the circle dance reminds us that we are called to a particular kind of relationship with one another. A relationship where no one dominates, no one domineers. A relationship where each person's contribution in activity for the community is valued, respected, desired, necessary. And if that's the way we truly lived, what a wonderful church it would be. What a wonderful world it would be. We would be organized by the Trinitarian model. No sense of hierarchy with one person at the top and someone else at the bottom. No sense of dominance where one single individual has all power and someone else must simply fall into line. No struggles for authority, because authority is understood to come not from position or office, but from community and its mission. You know, I love the doctrine of the Trinity because it's old and because it ties us to that great multitude of saints who have gone before us trying to follow the way of Jesus. And I love it because I'm convinced that it reveals to us an image of God and an image of what the community of God is meant to be. My prayer is that with God's help, we will continue to grow in our dance together as a community and come to serve God ever more faithfully in that community in the world. Amen.